Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we wrap with Royce. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays. Here you can also find Royce Unchained with Judd on the Royce Unchained podcast feed. Pat, Norm MacDonald died of cancer yesterday, which, by the way, I'm sure he'd have some hilarious jokes about.
Yes, he would. 61 years old, and he'd had it for 9 years, and basically only the woman that's been his companion knew it. He didn't tell his family. Mm. He didn't tell any of his friends. He just kept it to himself. I was reading that she said, the companion said that he didn't want to go to do comedy, you know, stand-up appearances and have the whole story be, you know, that Norm was fighting cancer and that stuff. He apparently did have a hilarious thing near death about battling cancer. The idea that you're battling cancer was something that he just went off on a tangent. So I didn't get home till like midnight last night. I had some stuff going on. And then I started watching Norm videos, and damn, I was up till 2:30 in the morning looking looking at some of the stuff. And, you know, we all of the ESPY thing is famous, but there are so many appearances on TV shows when he just, you know, he's on a radio show where it must be a podcast because he's swearing and stuff. And he says something about a doctor suggesting, you know, anyway, they're suggesting he was fat, you know. So the guy says something sympathetic about that. He says, no, he was saying I was a fat bleep. But, you know, you wonder if some of that bloating that he had in his face and stuff might have been from, you know, getting chemotherapy and stuff like that. But he never told anybody about it. What a guy. I mean, a bunch of the Saturday Night Live guys were, you know, came out and were talking about him. And he was like the guy that all the comedians thought was the funniest guy of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he got fired, of course, there because Olmeyer, the head of NBC, was a big buddy of OJ's. And he wouldn't stop it. No, he wouldn't stop making OJ murderer jokes on Weekend Update.
Did you go back and watch that, Pat? That is every joke he did about, like, a person wrote a book or something would end with, and OJ said he did it. Every one of those things. It's hilarious.
A lot of updates on the search. I saw one on the search for the real killer. And we have three sketches of what the real killer looked like. And they were all OJ, you know, of course, they were all sketches of OJ. Yeah, he was unbelievable. He's that Howard Stern joke on Uncle Terry that goes on about 9 minutes is one of the all time greats, too.
He had a run. I forgot that his Weekend Update run was like 4 years. I mean, yeah, Was he Dennis Miller did it in the '80s. Where is Norm MacDonald on the Weekend Update pecking order?
His satire, you know, everybody who does satire keeps it a little below the surface, but because that's the definition of satire. But his was much more subtle that you had to be a you had to be listening to every sentence to see where the hell Norm was going with stuff and where the joke was. But, man, I love that guy.
His stuff.
I thought he was the best.
His stuff on Conan is phenomenal.
Because
Conan would just allow him to tell those seven jokes that didn't last, and he'd be cracking up. And the best part to that point, Pat, is there were times it was clear that nobody but his fellow comedians had any idea what was funny about it.
Yes.
Like, they'll be dying laughing, and the audience will be completely quiet, and he loves it.
The famous seven-minute moth joke about all the emotional problems that the moth was going through. The trouble that the moth was having and mispronouncing all these ethnic names and stuff like that. And then the punchline is, so why did you come to me? And the moth says, the light was on. after the whole seven. And Norm thought that was hilarious. But I don't think he told those like time and again, did they either? I mean, a lot of them he told. And, you know, I think a lot of them changed in the retelling too, because he would change the whole build. The buildup was always, you know, this outrageous buildup, which then had a punchline that was just as simple as could be.
I wanted, because there's probably some younger people that watch us on YouTube. If you haven't ever seen Norm Macdonald at the ESPYs in what, like the mid or late 90s, I can't remember what year it was. Just Google Norm Macdonald ESPYs.
First one ever, I believe, in 99, wasn't it?
Okay. It's like, 1998 ESPYs. It is, I'm not sure if ESPN executives knew exactly what they were getting themselves into, but it's one of the most funny and uncomfortable stand-up monologues you'll ever see.
The guys out in the crowd, the Charles Woodson thing is the famous one, but even worse was the Anthony Mason joke. How old was the girl that they honored there? You know, they were honoring like this 10-year-old girl for something, and he says, that's even too young for Anthony Mason.
Oh my God! Can you imagine?
That was the crowd, and that's the one that went, "Ooh!" The guys were covering their heads and stuff out in the crowd.
I'm not gonna do it justice, but this is the Norm Macdonald. I got the transcript from the ESPYs, the Charles Woodson, and there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And you knew, like, oh God, what's gonna happen? What a season he had. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. Congratulations, Charles. That's something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case all bets are off.
Is the Anthony Mason joke on there, or did they delete it?
I just found a transcript of that one. Charles Woodson part.
I don't know. It was a young girl that was getting some honor, or so she was a young singer or something. It's even too young for Anthony Mason. God, the crowd is never invited back. not surprisingly. I heard somebody talking about they had an SNL 40-year reunion thing and a big reception after it, and everybody got a script and they were supposed to do this thing, and then, you know, the three guys to build up to the introduction of Chevy Chase and then Norm was the fourth guy, and he just rambled on for like minutes. He was supposed to say his sentence or something, and he just started, because they, you know, deep in his heart, he had to be bitter about these guys getting rid of him. Even if a 4-year run was long enough for him, he probably had to be bitter about being fired.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, those little walk-in appearances. He probably was never wealthy, huh? He probably was never wealthy like he should have.
No, I mean, he was, you know, he was in some decent movies, but never, I don't, he was never like Will Ferrell, you know, making 15, 20 million. The first time I ever saw Norm, cause I was like 10 when he was doing Weekend Update. Yeah. So I wasn't an SNL watcher. I saw Dirty Work in the late 90s or early 2000s. That's my first Norm Macdonald experience ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
The delivery.
I mean, phenomenal. It's not often that a celebrity can have cancer long term and we don't know about it, right? We never hear about it. So he didn't want the publicity on that either. Odd fella, there's no doubt about it. I bet You know, I bet the companion has some stories to tell. You know, a compulsive, a psychotic gambler too. Sports gambler.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big, you know, crazy.
How did he know? Because he showed up one, like Blake Griffin, another great line. There's a clip that's floating around yesterday. So Blake Griffin won the Rookie of the Year award, and he's doing a press conference, whatever, 10, 12 years ago. And Norm MacDonald shows up with that Norm MacDonald, like, goofy grin, and he's among all the reporters in the crowd, and he gets the microphone on NBA TV, and, hey, Blake, it's your longtime friend Norm. And he asked a question like, you know, it's going to be tough because most people that win the Rookie of the Year award have a hard time repeating or like winning it a second time or something. Like, was he friends with Blake Griffin? Like, or did he just randomly show up?
Know,
to this
he and Euchre are buddies, I guess. He and Euchre are buddies. They probably met. I don't know how they met, but he and Euchre, he was saying Euchre's one of his best friends. I saw something. But then he does this wonderful mock-ups of conversations with Euchre, you know, and Euchre says, hey, you know that singer down there that's, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival, you know, you ever, hey, that guy's a pretty good singer. He's got Euchre saying it.
He got a sports parody show on Comedy Central at some point as well. So yeah, he loves sports. And I guess he and was a huge golf guy.
Yeah, he'd
show up to these celebrity events for sure.
Did you ever follow him on Twitter?
Yeah.
You could tell when he was watching a game and gambled on it, you know, because he'd be ripping this guy and mad at that guy and making observations. So.
I think his line on gambling, too, was, it's the only disease you can make money off of, is gambling.
I saw that quote on Twitter, yes. I think the mind of a comedian might be the most interesting mind of any of us.
I think these are, the good ones are incredibly talented people.
Well, like Kaufman.
Because people have been telling jokes for centuries. How do you tell one that hasn't been told before? Yeah. How do you tell, you know, one that you're not stealing from somebody else, which is a capital offense in that industry? So
And how are you that quick? Like MacDonald, Kaufman, think about how quick those guys are on their feet to immediately come back with things. That's what impresses me. But yeah, they are some interesting and I think
Mel Brooks,
personally tortured people.
Well, the greatest example of that is the 2,000-year-old man with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, because this is way before Declan and Phil's time and maybe even yours. But Mel Brooks would come out, he'd be the 2,000-year-old man, and Reiner would give him no hint as to what the conversation was. It was all spontaneous. Did you ever see Mel Brooks when he's 90 years old and he's on with Jimmy Glick? And he's, you know, Jimmy Glick.
I love Jimmy Glick.
Jimmy Glick says, "What is it? What is your grudge against Nazis?" That's his question. It says, Nazis? Mel Brooks said, and a second later, he says, "Nazis. I thought they were rude."
Oh, the Jimmy Glick stuff's unbelievable.
Yeah, Jimmy Glick.
It's so uncomfortable. It's great.
Yeah. Anyway, Norm. We'll
Norm MacDonald, man. Yeah, the world is less funny and sarcastic today. What else? What else is on your mind around the Minnesota sports sphere today, Pat?
I'm very curious about both these football teams. In my own crotchety, grumpy way, certainly in the middle of August, I thought they were both, well, not the middle of August, when the Vikings training camp started at the end of July, I thought they were both going to be really good. And then I, you know, started to waver with everybody else about the Vikings when the training camp got thrown off the wheels. But I thought the Gophers, you know, it's hard to judge the Gophers at all on a Miami-Ohio game, because if you look at Flex record, that's the way they play early in the season.
It is.
The year they went 11-3, they damn near lost to Georgia Southern. They were beat by friends, and they got better and better and better. So I'll be interested to see. Colorado lost a tough game. They apparently have no offense. And I would think the Gophers, when they're playing a team that isn't explosive offensively, they have a better that's their game. That's fine with them. They can outbore you. You're going to have to score long. You know, you're going to have to beat them by, you know, being better than they are athletically, offensively. So I think that's a real interesting game, Colorado.
I've been looking at like Action Network and just like where the sports books see this game, and it's very much a lot of two and a half Colorado sort of. I think the over under is in the mid 50s. So Action Network and another site have it like 30-27.
I was out there. Only once for a Gopher game in Boulder. That's when Bill McCartney was in the height of being the most religious cheater in the history of college betting. You know, the man started Promise Keepers, but
Promise Keepers,
one of the great cheats in the history of college football. And he had that Colorado. He had that bunch of that great. That's when they were right with Nebraska and Oklahoma, right? 58-0 that one was for poor old Goody. That was not athletically. That was a mismatch when I was out there.
How did the Gophers have no passing yards in the second half of that last game? That's my question. How do you have zero passing yards against Miami of Ohio?
I think they thought they were just going to shut it down. Like they're we're up by three touchdowns. Let's just run it home.
I mean, you can mess around with it, but I texted Chip during the game, you know, and he was there, and he said, they quit. He said, they quit playing for a quarter, after he, late in the third quarter, he said, they quit. They're not trying to do anything.
Right.
The players. So I don't know. Here's something I did. One observation I made though, when I saw the, and I might've mentioned this to Judd a couple of days ago, I saw the predictions and the eight or nine guys made predictions in the Star Tribune, right, as to what the Vikings were going to do before the opener. And there was 7-10s to 10-7s, but there were more under 500s than over 500s. And I was saying, compared to what the predictions would have been before the first day of training camp, it's amazing what training camp and the preseason did to the outlook for this, the public. This was kind of a microcosm of the public's perception of them. I think the public and most of us thought they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And now you got everybody saying, they'll be lucky to be 500. Of course, losing to Cincinnati adds that, but mm-hmm. I don't know. They could go down and play pretty good against Arizona.
I mean, the first game to me just verified what the national and Vegas perception was about this team, which was sort of 8.5 over under, maybe they'll get to 9. And I think everyone locally tends to be, obviously more optimistic it's more like 10 or 11 wins. And I don't know. They don't build those buildings on the strip because they're off by 3 when they're setting a futures line.
My best one the other day was I saw Coastal Carolina. I saw Coastal Carolina was playing Kansas, right? And Kansas has somehow managed to put together the worst football program in the country. And the number was 26.5. I tweeted that out for some reason. I don't even know why. Final score, 27.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Coastal Carolina.
How do you feel, Pat?
You know how you can judge Coastal Carolina out here in the Atlantic Ocean in this prairie team with a new coach.
Playing cross-conference games they've never played before. Like in the NFL, at least all right, the Vikings play the Packers twice a year. You can probably set a line on that. How do you feel, by the way, but you bring up Kansas being one of the most garbage Power 5 programs in college football history. How do you feel that the Vikings offensive coordinator was their wide receivers coach just 5 years ago? It's a little unsettling to me.
Clint was great there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure he was great.
Hey, May said that team ranked fourth in the country.
Yep.
Fourth in the country.
And took the Georgia job and backed out.
Yes. That was
before he came here.
Supposedly a family. I bet he had to do it over again. He'd take the Georgia job, wouldn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he likes his media contributor gig now. I think it's worked out well for him.
Plus, he's making money in the business world, too. You know, He's got a little Louis in him.
I've always told you that, Pat. I think Louis got a hold of Mace and said, here's the key to long-term survival and doing very well without pressure in this market.
Where's Louis, by the way? I haven't talked to him in a month. Usually something pops up. He's in the news.
Tell him to go fix this Kaprizov contract situation. That's what they need him for right now.
Yeah.
He might have to go to Russia.
Judd isn't worried. We're going to outweigh him, and he's going to sign a thing. You know who would be a great combination? Garen as Zim's GM. Garen's a hard ass redneck.
There would be a lot of MFs used behind closed doors if you could secretly record those conversations. This bleeper.
Yeah, Garen is old time hockey. He's not afraid to hurt their feelings. So.
Yep. All right, Pat. We'll see you on Friday, sir.
All right. Farewell, Norm MacDonald, you wonderful SOB.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we'll talk to Pat on Friday, Mackie and Judd.
If you love to travel, you love cool experiences, I think you're going to love Viator. If you haven't heard, Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. They've got everything from simple tours to extreme adventures, all the cool and interesting stuff in between as well. Well, this year, my wife and kids are making one of my bucket list trips come true. We're going to Sun Valley. So we're going to fly to Sun Valley, and I tell you, the thought of bringing skis, poles, boots, snowboards, everything, overwhelming. But that's where Viator came in. They made this incredibly easy. I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom, Viator arranges a first-class experience, custom ski, snowboard, and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to the condo. It's pretty amazing. Experiences are what we love most about travel. They create these long-lasting moments and make memories that will last a lifetime. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.